Good morning. Welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren this morning. It's good to hear that fellowship taking place in the congregation again. Just several announcements. Praying this week for those on page 40 in the church directory. And we're also praying for the Source of Grace Fellowship Church in Hyde Park, Massachusetts. If you're not aware, that's an Arabic fellowship that is one of the Church of Brethren fellowships in Massachusetts. There's two of them, one in New York and one in Massachusetts. And Wes Greentree is praying for us. Also keep Lindsay Diamond in your prayers. She will be having surgery on Friday. And we also want to keep Margaret Wenger and the family in our prayers on the passing of Carl this past Friday. Not aware of any plans at this point for services, but we'll let you know when we hear something. Congregation is invited this Thursday evening at 7 for a program by the children at the Reach Christian School, which is renting space here in our church. That will be here in the church, I believe, or downstairs in their classroom area. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and I understand there's been a tradition that on Mother's Day, the men come up and sing some hymns that the ladies have picked out, and on Father's Day, we reverse that. Well, we're going to do it a little bit differently this year. We're going to do it. The guys are going to come up next Sunday and sing. But since there's no hymnals in the racks, on the sign-up on the table where there are normally sign-up sheets out in the gathering place, there are a couple brown hymnals and a paper. So ladies, if you have a special hymn that you'd like the guys to sing for you next Sunday morning, write it down on that paper out there, and Earl will go through the list and pick some that we'll sing next Sunday morning. So that'll be next Sunday. Don't forget before you leave to write down a hymn if you have a favorite you want the guys to sing for you next Sunday morning. Let's come into an attitude of worship now as Barb leads us.
Thank you. Thank you, Barb. Great job, as always.
Good morning, everyone. So before we start with the call of worship today, I couldn't help, as I thought about, you know, coming up today and talking with the service, Pastor Dennis talked to us about shepherding the other week and showed the kids the video. And I think Pastor Dennis has done a very fine job over the last year shepherding the congregation. So I thought it was worthy this morning to just say thank you to Pastor Dennis on behalf of the congregation for the shepherding that he's provided us. So at that, if we could all rise, if you're able, and join me for the call to worship. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower."
Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, Lord, prune us.
Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you."
Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, Lord, sustain us.
Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing."
Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, Lord, save us.
Jesus says, "When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples."
Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, Lord, empower us.
In our love for you and in our love for others, Lord, may you be glorified. And now for the opening hymn, and I believe we're going to be joined by the bell choir as well. Invocation. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace we have in you. We are gathered here today. You promised us that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there with us. We have gathered to praise and worship you. Come down, O Lord, and fellowship with us. Let your presence be felt in our midst. Come with the abundance of your blessings and give us overflow. Thank you, Jesus, because you hear us always. Amen. Now you may be seated and for some music ministry. have the reading of the first scripture, which comes to us today, 1 John 3:18-24. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us. And now for a time of prayer. Father, we are surrounded every day by others who do not know You. Help us to be a shining example of Your love to them, just as You have loved us. We desire to be filled with Your love more every day, so that it fills us up and pours out of us to others, even those who aren't always easy for us to love. Whether we are with people we know well or people we encounter only briefly, give us opportunities to tell them about the love You showed by sending Your Son to die that we might live through Him. Let Your words fill our lips with Your story, for You are love. Amen. And now please rise, if you're able, for the hymn, Come Thou Fount. The children's story with Pastor Dennis. Children, you may come forward.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good to see you all. This is kind of my favorite part of Sunday morning, seeing all of you up here and having a chance to spend some time with you and tell you a story and helping you to know Jesus a little bit better. This past week was a funny week weather-wise. I don't know if you've noticed that. Around the middle of the week, we had a really, really warm day, like got up in the 80s. The next day, it rained. And the next day the wind howled. Did you have any trees come down in your neighborhoods? No. Branches came down? Yeah.
My brother's hockey net fell down.
The hockey net fell down? Oh. Disastrous. Say that again, Cameron. And it weighed 100 pounds. The wind just picked it up and blew it right over, huh? Yeah. Well, Peyton, my yard was kind of like you said, branches all over the place. And yesterday, Kathy and I walked around in the yard, and we picked up things, and we picked up things, and we picked up things. And they just kept finding more. So this was one of the ones I found, and we found lots like this. Now, do you think if I took them out in my garden and put them in the ground, do you think they would grow again? No. Why not?
Because they're just a branch and they don't have roots.
They're just a branch and they don't have roots. Yeah. It's got to be connected to the tree. This was off my maple tree. I think this one was too. And if it's not connected to the tree, it's not going to grow, is it? No. So this one's pretty much done, I think.
But if you did plant the seeds, it might.
Maybe, although I don't know if those seeds are quite mature enough yet. Yeah, usually, well, I don't know. I noticed a squirrel in my tree eating a bunch of them. I told him he could have as many as he wanted. Yeah. But yeah, if it's not connected to the tree, it's not going to grow. And Jesus had a story that he told about himself, actually. And he said, and this was in a scripture that Tim's going to read for us in just a few moments. But he said that I am the vine and you are the branches. I am the vine and you are the branches. Okay. Did you ever think of yourself as a branch? No. No. What do you think Jesus meant by that? We need to be his followers. So I said, yeah, okay. We need to be his followers. You know, like that branch, if we're going to live, we need to be connected to the vine too. And Jesus said that he is the vine. In fact, one part of that scripture says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If one remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, he said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we're pretty limited. There's not a whole lot we can do. A whole lot that at least is good. Okay? So Jesus is saying, if we're going to follow him, if we're going to be, if we're going to grow in him, if we're going to mature in him, if we're going to become like that big tree, we need to stay connected to him too. And how do we stay connected to Jesus? What do you think? How do we stay connected to Jesus?
Love him.
Love him? Yep. Love him. How else do we stay connected to Jesus?
Pray.
Pray. That's a good one. Yep. Pray. Read our Bibles. Be here with all these people. Okay? That helps us stay connected too. So yeah. So we need to stay connected to Jesus so that we can grow and not become like those branches that got blown off the tree in the windstorm the other day. Let's say a prayer. God, I pray that these children will stay connected to you, that they will attach themselves, will grow in you, that they will know that you are the source of their life. Help them grow into mature believers in you, we pray, in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
And now for reading of the second scripture. It'll be John 15, 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And now for Pastor Dennis's message.
Every day is the first day of the rest of your life. What are you going to do with it? Jesus says that he's given us his word that his joy may be in us and our joy may be complete. So what are you doing today that will create within you a sense of contentment and joy and purpose? Previous chapter 14 in John's Gospel, ends with Jesus saying to his disciples, "Rise, let us be on our way." And chapters 15 through 17 contain Jesus' final intimate words with his disciples as they made their way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. Along the way, Jesus talked about his love for his disciples. He encouraged them to abide in him, to bear fruit that will glorify God. Everything he has told them, he said he's told them so that his joy might be in them and that their joy might be complete. And John 15 begins with Jesus' final "I am" saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." As Jesus and his disciples were making their way out of the city to the Garden of Gethsemane, it's possible they passed the temple. And tradition has it that one of the many ornaments on the temple was a sculpted vine. Several texts in the Old Testament identify Israel as the vineyard of the Lord. One of those being Isaiah 5:7, where we read that the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. I am the true vine, and my Father's the vine grower. Jesus, he says, is the true vine, unlike an unfaithful Israel. Three times in John 15, verse 4, Jesus speaks of abiding in him. And he also repeats that in verses 5, 6, and 7. And verse 5 also contains one of Jesus' most powerful and probably one of his more challenging teachings. "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Six times in these first 11 verses of John 15, Jesus speaks of bearing fruit. The implication being that his true disciples will bear fruit, or they'll continue his work. They will bear fruit that brings glory to God. "I am the vine. You are the branches," Jesus said. Grew up living next door to my paternal grandparents. My grandfather had numerous fruit trees, cherries, pears, peaches, apples, and a very productive garden. And between our houses, there was a row of grapevines. And one thing I recall is how much time and effort my grandfather put into those grapevines to keep them productive. In late winter or early spring, it was pruning time. And after they were pruned, it was amazing those vines ever produced any grapes at all, because all that was left looked like a couple of sticks tied up to some wires. I never found out how my grandfather knew which branches on those vines to prune, but I suppose it was just like Jesus said. He discarded the ones that didn't produce grapes, and he carefully pruned those that did, so they would produce more. Summer required spraying.
And when the grapes began to mature, my grandfather sometimes covered the vines with netting, or sometimes he even covered each bunch of grapes in a paper bag to keep insects and the birds from eating them. From watching my grandfather's experience as a vine grower, it seems that producing a harvest of good grapes requires a lot of care. Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father's the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit." You see, the purpose of removing is to rid the vine of unproductive branches. The purpose of careful pruning is to enable productive branches to be even more productive. But did you notice in Jesus' vine metaphor, both the branches that were removed and those that are carefully pruned have been connected to the vine? Jesus said, "All these branches are in me." And to cut off branches were as much a part of the vine as the pruned branches. Those parts of the vine that were cut off and thrown into the fire once had as an intimate connection to the vine as those that were carefully pruned. A branch is a branch, and it's organically connected to the vine. And to lose any branch is to lose part of the vine. And that act of cutting creates a wound and a scar. I think it pains Jesus when he sees those who were once connected to him, who once found strength and purpose in him, cease to continue to abide in him and stop producing fruit. And it's no wonder that Jesus was so concerned that his disciples that would continue to abide in him. Jesus knows what was about to happen and how important it would be for them to stay connected to him and to each other in the coming weeks. He's desperate that they remain connected to him, as Jesus himself promises that he will be remain connected to them. And through what he's saying about vines and branches, I think Jesus is speaking metaphorically about at least two relationships. One, his relationship with the Father, but then his relationship with us. And some of the language Jesus is using here sounds kind of painful. Cutting, pruning, being thrown into the fire. But I don't think his words were meant as a threat, but rather I think they're a description of just what naturally happens when one becomes disconnected from the source of life. Disconnected from the vine, from Jesus, we cease to abide in him and we cease to produce fruit that glorifies God. The vine is the source of life. The vine is rooted in the soil and draws the nutrients for the branches and enables the fruit to develop. And disconnected from the source of life, we end up withered, useless, like dead branches or other yard scraps we might clean up and haul away or burn. Jesus is saying if we're going to lead productive and purposeful lives, if we're going to experience that abundant life I spoke of last week, if we're going to produce fruit that brings glory to God, and if we're going to find true joy and purpose for our lives, we've got to remain connected to the true vine, to him. We must abide in Jesus. I think these words of Jesus are more than just good advice. They're profound words of promise. A promise that when we abide in him, no matter what happens, Jesus always abides in us. He's with us, filling us, nourishing us as we grow in him. And he goes so far as to say, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus was going to be physically leaving his disciples in a short time. Their world was going to be turned upside down. To be Jesus' disciples was going to be risky. And Jesus knew that, which is why he told them and is telling us, "Abide in me."
It's why he promises that no matter what life may bring, he will abide in us. Because without him, we can do nothing. Certainly nothing worthy of bringing glory to God. This metaphor of the vine and branches is about a vital relationship. A relationship of dependence and profound reliance between the vine and the branches. Between Jesus and God. Between Jesus and his disciples. And between Jesus and us. You know, by the time the community for which John was writing his gospel heard his words, they probably had plenty of reasons to feel like they had been cut off and abandoned. They've probably already been scattered and maybe even thrown out of their local synagogue. And John writes to assure them that while they might feel that they've been cut from the vine, what they're experiencing is really a pruning. A pruning which will bring more abundant fruit and life if they abide in him. No doubt that was really hard to believe, as there probably was little evidence for the disciples or John's readers that they had not been abandoned. Jesus was gone, even in spite of the news of his resurrection. No doubt it's hard for us to believe at times, as so much of life today rips at us. And with little evidence that the trials we face can lead to a more fruitful future. The last couple of years, I've had to deal with some of those wild grapevines growing in some of my shrubbery and on some trees around my house. They refuse to give in to my efforts to get rid of them. The roots are deep. And if I just cut them down, they grow right back and wind their way up through the branches on my lilac bushes and some of the trees and evergreen trees in my yard. Now, as it was then, in our times of uncertainty and distress, Jesus promises us that he will not abandon us, but rather he will cling to us. Cling to us, kind of like those wild grapevines cling to my shrubbery, so that we endure and persevere and flourish even in difficulties that life brings. Last Sunday, my message focused on Jesus saying that he's a good shepherd, and particularly his words, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And I suggested last week that the abundant life that Jesus spoke of is first of all being known by Jesus who loves you just because you are you, and being known by others. And second, I said abundant life is a life of relevance, a life of purpose, that we find relevance when we see our connectedness to the purposes of God for our lives and for the whole world. And third, that abundant life is seeing our life's work as a ministry, outwardly focused, always concerned with how much we give rather than we get, bearing fruit, in other words. So the question for this morning is this: are you trying to find that abundant life, a life of knowing and being known, a life of purpose and joy? Are you trying to find it through your own efforts, expecting you can achieve that kind of life on your own without being connected to the vine and without an intimate relationship with the vine grower? Because the reality is that you can't, and you never will. When that abundant life we desire, when a sense of joy and purpose seem elusive, maybe the problem is that we've become disconnected from the vine, disconnected from Jesus, our source of life. You know, if you've ever seen or done in your own yards pruned bushes, you know that sometimes, for a while at least, that bush looks pretty ugly, like it'll never bear fruit or flowers again. But it's the pruning which allows the new life to flourish. Do you ever feel like you're being pruned? You're going through a rough time. Life just doesn't seem to be working. You look kind of ragged and worn. You're restless, sensing, well, there needs to be something more, but you can't figure out what that more is. Pruning often isn't pretty. It can be downright painful. The question is whether we will experience some pruning, some difficulty, or restlessness in our lives. The question is whether this pruning will produce new growth, or well, it will just lead to more withering. Which direction you go depends on your connection, on abiding in Jesus. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And then Jesus goes on to say, when you produce much fruit, you're my true disciples. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, Rick Warren says that the fruit of a believer is another believer. And while I think there's certainly some truth about that, after all, Jesus told us to go and make disciples, there are other kinds of fruit mentioned in Scripture that are the result of abiding in Jesus. There's that inner fruit that grows from our connection to Jesus, as well as outer fruit that is seen in our lives because of our connection to Jesus. You know, you read on in John 15, and Jesus mentions the fruit of answered prayer, the fruit of joy and love. And in Galatians 5:22, those well-known words by Paul of the fruit of the Spirit's presence in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. 2 Peter 1:5-8, the apostle says, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. And he goes on to list qualities of Christian character, such as faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control again, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love for everyone, fruits of the Spirit within us. In 1 John 3:24, the apostle says, all who obey his commandments, all who obey Jesus' commandments, abide in him and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. To all who believe in him, who seek to live in obedience to him, he's given his Spirit. Through the Spirit, Jesus abides in us. And he wants us to bear fruit. Fruit that changes our lives from within and changes the world around us. Jesus' teaching about the vine and the branches reveals the profound relationship Jesus desires to have with us. What does it mean to be fruitful? I don't think it means keeping a list of our accomplishments for Jesus. It's not so much what we have or what we do, as much as being fruitful is about who we are. It's being salt and light and letting our light shine. It's being a positive influence in a broken world and making a difference for good and for God where you are as you continue Jesus' work. It's not being ashamed to let others know you are who you are and what you are because you're a disciple of Jesus. In the movie Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey plays the role of Bruce Nolan, a television reporter in Buffalo, New York, who is discontented with almost everything in his life, despite his popularity, except for the love he has for his girlfriend, Grace. And at the end of the worst day of his life, Bruce angrily ridicules and rages against God, and God responds. God, played by who other than Morgan Freeman, appears in human form, and endowing Bruce with divine powers, challenges Bruce to take on God's job and see if he can do it any better. After having had God's power long enough to really mess things up, God, Morgan Freeman, steps back into the picture, and Bruce asks God to make the world he messed up right with a miracle. God answers to Bruce, people want me to do everything for them, but what they don't realize is that they have the power. You want to see a miracle, son? Be the miracle. His teaching is about the vine and the branches. Jesus is asking us to be the miracle as we bear fruit that glorifies God, as we remain in him, as we're nourished and empowered by him to be the miracle, to bear fruit, the fruit of his Spirit within us that enables us to produce the fruit of a life lived abundantly, a life of joy and a life of obedience and a life of purpose. When our faith is real, when we abide in Jesus and he in us, then life and faith works itself out in ways which are visible and good. God is asking us to engage this world into which God has placed us, and with those gifts and talents God has given us, to make a difference. And to do so, we must abide in Jesus always, remembering that He abides in us. So how are you doing with that? Remaining, abiding, staying connected with Jesus. How are you doing it? Abiding in Him. Abiding in Jesus means knowing that you are connected to Him. And you stay connected, as the children said, through prayer, through reading and meditating on Scripture, through connecting with other believers. But more so, I think, abiding in Jesus is that feeling you experience, knowing that you're not doing life alone, knowing that every moment of every day, Jesus is with you, knowing what you're experiencing and reminding you through that peace He gives that the world cannot take away, that He's kept His promise. He abides in us always. Do you feel Jesus' abiding presence? Are you experiencing within the fruit that comes with abiding in Him? Are you a productive branch, producing outward fruit to the glory of God? I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Every day is the first day of the rest of your life. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do today that creates within you a sense of contentment and joy, a sense of Christ's abiding presence in you? What are you doing today that keeps you connected to Jesus? Do you know His abiding presence in your life? The hymn writer says, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, His sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Are you abiding in Him? Let's stand and sing together. Jesus calls us.
Jesus Christ.
please don't forget, if you have a favorite hymn that you want to hear next Sunday morning, write it on the sheet out in the gathering place. Jesus calls us over the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. He says, I'm with you. I'm walking that journey with you. I abide in you. Will you abide in me? Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected in Jesus and go in his peace. Amen.